It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
That can only mean one thing. It's one of the favorite times of the year for Major Billy Downer from DNR, another edition of SC Wild here on Sports Talk, and it is time to talk some turkey. It's time to talk some boating season in the state of South Carolina, and welcome in, Major. How are you?
I am well. It is turkey time in South Carolina, no doubt. That's that turkey hunting time of year. From April 3rd through May 3rd. So it's our, here we go with the turkey season. We're 5 days into it right now. So got some numbers to share with some folks. We can talk about the top counties across the state. And we'll talk about turkey regs a little bit, what we need for turkey hunting, what our limits are this year a little bit, some of the common problems we see with folks out there. And before we wrap the show up tonight, we will talk about getting your boat out for boating season and some registration things that are going on around the state right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, without further ado, let's drum roll it. What is the number one county in the state for turkeys?
You know, you've asked that question. I'm going to take a shot at it.
There's 5 days in now. Mm-hmm. 5 days in. What is the top county for turkeys in South Carolina to date?
You're talking about turkeys taken so far in South Carolina.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say Anderson.
Wrong. In fact, they're on the lower end.
Okay.
All right. So this one might surprise you, but right now, Horry County is in the lead with 173 birds taken so far.
Okay.
So a total of 4,068 birds have been taken in the first 5 days of the season. Not unusual to see birds taken, you know, first of the season. Birds hadn't seen a lot of hunters yet. They're not as smart, not as wise. A lot of people get out there quick and get a few birds up front in the season. So, but 173 in Horry County, the number two in the state, and this is a county that probably stays up in the top three, top five every year. Mm-hmm. It's Orangeburg County at 168. So that's pretty impressive. And then just behind Orangeburg, unbelievably for me, is Florence County at 166 right now.
Why
now,
is that a surprise?
This could all change tomorrow.
Why does that surprise you about Florence County?
There's just a lot of other counties out there that I'm looking for, and I made a mistake.
Mm.
I just realized it. I left out the number two county. I'm wrong.
Mm.
I missed it. Williamsburg County is at 171. They're not the top county, but I was saying, where's Williamsburg County? They're always one of the top counties. They're number two. I was wrong. Number three in the state is actually Orangeburg. So Florence mm-hmm. now falls to four at no fault of their own, but they're at number four. And behind them, to round out the top five, make sure I don't miss another one. Numbers get a little scary on here. 162 be Cowden County. Not a surprise there. A lot of turkeys in Cowden County. So not a real surprise there. So number one is Horry County. Number two, Williamsburg County. And I mean two birds behind. They could pass tomorrow. Number three is Orangeburg. Number four would be Florence. And number five would be Cowden County. And folks, you can look at this up yourself on your phone. You can do it in 5 days. You can do it tomorrow. It's always interesting to look at where the harvest data is, and that's through the Go Outdoors SC app. Put that on your phone. You can get it on either from the Apple or iOS, or you can get it for an Android devices. But Go Outdoors SC, when you pull it up on your screen, you'll see Game Check to the right there. You do Game Check, and that's how you harvest and report your turkey. But you go back, your digital backpack, is on there, and you hit Hunter's Toolbox, and the Hunter's Toolbox takes you to where you can get bear harvest reports, not bear season right now, the deer harvest reports, and turkey harvest reports. Just hit the turkey, touch it, gives you a start date, end date. You select location. They give you a little clue on location. Select county, and then hit select all. You can see all the counties, or you can select what county you want to look at. And it'll tell you where we are up to date based on the reporting. So remember, we went to digital reporting on turkeys a couple of years ago. That's the benefit of that. Mm-hmm. Now we get data right there. And again, let me be clear on something, because folks will be quick to point out, it's only as good as the people who report. Well, so were the tags that we had, and we used to check stations. Those were only as good as the people checking them in. So I want to believe that people want to check birds so that we get a good, accurate report. So across the state, we know that turkey numbers are down. I'm hearing it, heard it today for some folks saying that they're just not seeing the turkeys, and we're not here behind the house up and down 521 between Sumter and Clarendon County. We're not seeing the birds we have seen over the last 15 years. They are absolutely down. There may be areas in your neck of the woods where turkeys are still pretty prevalent and very just you see them everywhere. But that's not the case everywhere. And that's why the limit is now down to two birds and only one in the first couple days of the season here. So when you look at your tags and you go again, and I'm going to go back and look at my licenses and game check and all that. Mm-hmm. I go to my turkey tags. It's going to bring my turkey tags up, and it's going to tell you your turkey tags. You know, the first one can only be used in the first 10 days. After you use it, you got to wait until you can shoot another. You can't shoot two in the first inning, only one. And that the purpose of that is to give the birds a chance to breed so that they can continue the species. And so we're limiting you to one bird at the beginning. Take a little break so that, you know, birds have a chance. So we've shown that in that first, you know, 10 days of April here, when the birds really are breeding, by that time, most birds, most adult gobblers, your dominants have already bred. So that's why we're asking you to only, you know, shoot one bird at the beginning. And your tag actually says that on it. So just remember that. You get two tags this year, two birds, that's your limit. Keep in mind a couple other things. I said we're going to talk about turkeys and regulations for a minute. So turkey hunting, done with a shotgun only in South Carolina. There are a few states that allow rifles. We do not. That's unfair. Besides, with the turkey loads that are out there now, the TSS loads and some of those that are out to 75 yards consistently, I think that's too far. But there are some loads that allow you to make that shot. So that bird that hangs up at 75 yards won't come in. Well, now there's some loads out there. If you pay, it feels like you're paying $20 per shell. But anyway, they're expensive. They're definitely $50 to $75 for a box. That's no lie. About 10 shells maybe. They're expensive. But they work. Again, remember this, folks. If you haven't turkey hunted before, or if you have turkey hunted, your loads, you just can't go buy a turkey load, the hot new load, put it in your gun, and expect it to shoot perfectly. It may shoot great out to 20 yards, but if you're trying to get to that 50-yard and beyond mark, you really need to go buy shells, and this is where it gets expensive, and shoot at a target at the specific distance you're wanting. If it's 45 or 50 or 60 yards, whatever it is, shoot that target, the turkey target. You can get those at your local hardware stores, Ace or Sportsman's Warehouse or Bass Pro. They have them, or you can order them, the turkey neck target, and shoot at that bird, that target, and see where the pellets land. Because I'm telling you, each load is different. Every gun that you have may like a certain load better. And that's just the truth. And that sounds crazy, but it's the truth. You got to find the load that your gun likes, that it will be more accurate, particularly at farther distances. So buy a couple different selections of shells, and you may be investing $150 real quick. But you'd rather do that and not take that shot and miss a bird when all you had to do was check a few loads out to make sure. So it's all about the gun, the shotgun. It's about matching that choke, which is the constriction into the barrel. That's what tightens your pattern up. Again, when you shoot a shot pattern, there's a pattern, which is the shot, the individual pellets that come out of that gun, they form a shot string that's, you know, couple feet long, and they have a pattern to them how wide they will go at specific distances. Most turkey owners use a full choke or extra full, which is very tight. Particularly turkey chokes are extremely tight, and it holds that pattern or that spread from going too far out, so that you have lots of holes in your spread that can miss a turkey. You put all those pellets in one small area like a pie plate at 40 to 50 yards. That's your sweet spot. And finding what shells match your gun is very important. So just a note on that for folks. If you haven't done that, and if you're wanting to try one of those new loads out there, TSS, the different ones that are out there, the Winchester Extremes, all these different shells that they've come out with, match it to your gun and your choke. And you may have to change chokes, too, to match it up. And sometimes the companies now, they're coming out with where they're matching the shot with a, they're telling you, use this shot in this particular choke. Now, that's a great reference, but you still need to go check it, because it may be different in every gun would be a little different. I'd just check it. So just a couple tips there, matching that choke to your load so that you can take those long shots. But again,
quick question. Going back to your numbers around the PD area in particular and the low numbers, the scientist, is there a scientific reason why the numbers are down, or is it just some kind of common sense reason?
So if you remember, we've had Jay Cantrell, I called him Dr. Turkey, on here several times.
Yeah.
He's the turkey doctor. And his number one word that he's going to tell you every time is recruitment. I know you love to give recruiting stats for different sports. But turkey recruitment has not been very well. They're not hiring the right scout on the right representative to help sell them to the big leagues.
Yeah.
So... yeah, turkeys aren't getting recruited that well. And when we say recruitment in the wildlife world, what we mean is they're not rearing young. They're not having success rearing young. Mm-hmm. And that can be heavy rains. It can be other environmental conditions, too many predators in the area, fire ants. There's so many different things that want to eat an egg or a small turkey out there that could destroy, you know, a small turkeys when they hatch out. You know, predators for, you know, skunks eat eggs, raccoons, all these different, you know, animals. Then once they hatch out the egg, you've got bobcats, coyotes, everything you've tried to snatch them up. Mm-hmm. Owls, you name it. So the fact that a turkey gets to adulthood is somewhat of a small miracle, but turkey recruitment over the last 5 years has not been that well. And I want to say that drier years are better for turkey recruitment because they can survive better. We've had some really bad years. And to be honest, it's not just South Carolina. It's across the Southeast, all the way to Mississippi. They're seeing the same thing. Hoping that by reducing the limit that birds get a chance to kind of get a little jump start on us and get those numbers back up so we can continue to enjoy turkey hunting for years to come. Because I do enjoy sitting in the morning and listening to a turkey gobble, no doubt about it. But again, my big tip for today is you match your load to that choke in your gun. Go out there, have a safe turkey hunting experience. One caution of safety, I always want to mention this. You know, I'll say this every time, Phil. When you go turkey hunting, identify your target. Know your target. Be sure of your target before you pull the trigger. We have had people over the last 20, 30 years that have been shot by turkey hunters. Another turkey hunter shot by a turkey hunter who thought they were a turkey. That sounds absolutely crazy. We've had people shot who had a red bandana in their hand, wiping their mouth when they were calling. People had, the last one I remember, a guy had a red e-cigarette. And the person saw him walking up over a hill, and they shot him for a gobbler head. Killed the man. No one wants to go out hunting and that be their last day on this earth. I mean, we want to enjoy hunting, enjoy it, and be able to do it again. So be sure of your target. Don't get excited when you hear a turkey yelp or a turkey call. Make sure it's a turkey. Know what's beyond your target. If turkeys come out in the field, particularly if you're on public land, even on private land, I always remind people, you may think you're the only person there, and maybe you're supposed to be, but you never know if someone else could have slipped in. They may be in a club, and they may have come in even when you signed out for an area, or it may be somebody trespassing. You don't know. But even if somebody's trespassing, you don't want to shoot them and have that to be something you've got to live with if you shot somebody. Nobody wants that. Mm-hmm. So, again, sure. Always make sure of your target and what's beyond it. Remember, turkey loads can be effective up to 75 yards now. They're so powerful now, got such a tight pattern. So just be careful of that. Know your target. Know what's beyond it, again, before you pull that trigger because you can't pull that shot back. Mm-hmm. So, said today, before we finish out the show, we're going to talk about boating a little bit. We've had some hot weather last couple weeks, a little cool today. We certainly have not had a lot of rain in the last few days. Now, some places may have been blessed with rain, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, folks, if you're in South Carolina and you got rain, be on your knees praying and thanking the good Lord that you had rain, because a bunch of us have had no. I planted pine trees and haven't had a drop of rain on them in 2 weeks. I am out there literally watering them by hand. But anyway, with that said, it's hot, folks, in South Carolina. When it gets warm in the spring, they head to the water. And fuel prices are extremely high right now. We're all seeing that. If you think they're high at the gas station, try to get some gas on the water somewhere. They're even higher. So if you go boating, I'd fuel up before you get there. But just know this. Remember, the first of the spring, always think about checking your boat for your safety equipment. Go through the boat. Make sure your registration's good. Make sure that the stickers on the side of the boat, your numbers are visible. Your stickers in good, is this year, is 26. Make sure the date is at least 4/26, not 3/26 or 2 or 1, because you'd be expired. And check your motor to make sure you have a title decal, at least for now, until rule change. There's something going through the State House right now. A lot of people get a lot of energy about it, about changing title. We're not going to talk about that tonight because we get sidetracked. But right now, check the titles on your motor. Make sure your title sticker's on the side of your motor. Make sure if you're going to be out at night, your running lights work. We always talk about that. Check your life jackets. Make sure they're in good workable condition. They're where you can get to them. They're readily accessible, as we say it. Make sure you got one for everybody on the boat. It's going to go with you, and they fit everybody on the boat so that the intended user can use it properly. If you got an infant or a child on the boat, get an infant or toddler life jacket. Do not put an adult life jacket on a child. I've said that for 9 years on this show, and people still do it. They just don't think about it to the last minute. But again, this time of year is when people make mistakes about registration, or they forget their safety equipment because it's the first time they took the boat out. And they just don't think. They want to get out there in the water and enjoy it. Remember, check your safety equipment. Check your fire extinguisher. Make sure it's in good working order. You don't want to have a fire on the water and not be able to put it out with a fire extinguisher quickly. Make sure you got a horn or whistle, sound device. Either your horn works or you have a whistle you can blow. All boats are required to have that. And then, people always ask, well, am I required to have a paddle? No, but it's a great idea. Because if you have a problem, you can at least move your boat slowly back to shore or wherever else with a paddle. I have paddled a 17-foot center console before as an officer because my boat quit. I've done it. It wasn't fun, but it allowed me to get back to shore at least. So a paddle's a great idea. Your throwable life jacket, if your boat's 16 feet or longer, you have to have a throwable device on board. People always ask, do you have to have a rope attached to it? You don't have to have a rope. Another great idea, if you throw it to somebody, you can help pull them back to the boat. But you don't have to have a rope attached to it. But it is a great idea. But again, this time of year is getting warm. People want to get on the water. And we want you to get on the water and have a good time. This time, with fuel prices like they are, most people probably aren't going to cruise. They weren't going to go to a sandbar somewhere or a shallow area and just kind of sit and relax in the sun, whatever, and enjoy time with other people on the water there as well, which is great. Just make sure that you have a safe trip out there, and you can have a safe return back. Make sure your motor's running, you got plenty of gas, and make sure you got your safety equipment so this will be an enjoyable experience on the water, and you can go out and do it again. But again, this time of year, suggestions. So if you haven't had your boat looked at in a while, might want to take it to the shop to get it checked out, get your oil, if you got a four-stroke, get your oil changed in the motor, check the foot. The foot, which is where all the gears go down. Make sure your gear oil is in good shape in the foot. A lot of people forget to look at that gear oil in that bottom of that gearbox in that motor. If you don't check the motor for years and you keep running it, that gear oil goes out, you'll burn the bottom of the motor up. Best way to do that is take it to a good reputable shop. Let them go through your motor, do a little spring cleaning on the boat, spring clean run through on your motor and make sure you're good to go. And so you can get there in the water again. So when you start up and get out there, when you get out there and want to come back, and when you hit the start button, the motor starts up and takes you safely back. Too many people get out there and they get into a problem and the motor's going and nothing happens. And that's a maddening sound when you want to get back and the motor won't start. So just things to think about as you get on the water this spring. So
what, one thing you always talk about too, and you're talking about being on the water. You've talked about the gas prices. But what about getting to the water with your trailer and making sure your trailer is in proper shape? What kind of things should the boat owner be looking at around the trailer before he loads that thing up and gets on the road?
I am so proud of you, Phil. It's taken me
attention.
9 years. It's taken me 9 years, but I have finally gotten you thinking about the whole aspect of boating.
Yes.
Great, this is like a proud father moment. What a great job.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. First time out this year, check the trailer. To get the boat to the water, make sure your trailer's hooked up properly. Make sure you got your safety chains. They're in good shape. You got a lock to put on when you lock the boat down, so you can lock that lock down so it won't pop off your trailer. Your safety chains are hooked up. But like you said, Phil, check the trailer. Make sure your bearings, back to oil grease, those things, grease your bearings to make sure that your bearings, which have been sitting all winter long, you want to make sure you got enough grease in there. Don't over-grease them, but grease them enough. And the best thing for that is to get a buddy bearing or a greasable hub that slips onto your bearing, and you can take a grease gun and put grease in there. And if you see when you grease it, you're going to see that cap start moving slowly out inside, which is showing you're putting pressure and grease in there to put that spring, puts grease, the pressure on the grease against the bearing, so that the bearing's always getting fresh grease. Good thing to check. So proud of you, Phil. I want to blow up right now. You're doing such a good job. Yes. Check the bearings on the motor. Also your tires, because if you've been sitting all summer long, your tires need to be inflated. If you don't inflate them properly, you can have a blowout. And again, another bad day trying to go to the lake. Everybody wants to have a good time, but you want to be able to get there and get back. And the trailer is the first step. So, yeah. Phil, thanks for a little reminder. Check your tires, check your air pressure, check your bearings. Make sure your boat is hooked up, strapped down the boat, and the front strap is strapped. Because when you grind down the road, you don't want to forget to strap the boat, because the boat, especially a John boat, can slip off the trailer, and that'd be a bad day.
All right, two more things about that. Number one, before you back it into the water, make sure that the plug is in the boat, right?
Absolutely, sir.
Yep. And then number two, we got about a little over a minute for the newbies out there, the inexperienced, who might be hauling that boat for the first time, and they got to back that thing down a ramp, and they get all twisted trying to do so. Some of the keys to keep from jackknifing, I guess you would call it, jackknifing that boat and that trailer as you're trying to get it down the ramp.
Well, the next time we're on the show, remind me to tell that jackknife story. I got a good one.
Yeah.
But absolutely, practice makes perfect. And for folks who have never operated a boat or operated a trailer, first of all, before you even get in the water, getting the boat in the water can be challenging for people. You're right. One of the tricks that we teach people is put your hand at the bottom of the wheel, at the bottom of your steering wheel, and turn to the direction you want the trailer to go. If your hand's right hand, if you're left right hand, for instance, put it on the bottom of the wheel, look back, and turn your hand the direction you want the boat to go, and that will help you as you back up. Practice makes perfect, though.
Yep.
Again, practice before you get to a busy landing, but we're not to the busy landings quite yet. But again, safety. Make sure you let somebody know where you're going. Tell them when you plan to return, so that if you don't, they know when to look for you. Be safe out there. Enjoy turkey season and enjoy another safe time boating in South Carolina.
Major, as always, great stuff. And I'm just tickled to death that you recognize my ability to pay attention and remember. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. That's Major Billy Downer from DNR SC Wild. That'll do it. Have a great night.